When things first started in lockdown, it was called PE with Joe, and it was meant to be for children, but there were people all over the world, youngsters and adults, who were doing that. The live stream, it says on Wikipedia, had wide impact, was viewed by over a million users worldwide. But people did it in different ways. Can I have a quick wave? Did anyone look at Joe Wicks? Is it just me? Oh, look, there's one, yeah, a couple. I have to admit that the first few I didn't do. I thought, oh, yeah, what's this? But then I thought, oh, yeah, this is really good, I should do it. By the end, I was logging on late and fast-forwarding the first few and doing some of the exercises. I don't know if that was the experience of others. And the reason, I guess, for that was actually that it wasn't quite like a boot camp. We'll define a boot camp in a minute. And that's because there wasn't someone watching. There was just me and someone being beamed over the computer. Let's think about a definition for a boot camp. And it is on slide two. It's actually a set of intensive exercises done on a regular basis and designed to improve strength and fitness. That was from Collins Dictionary, so it's kind of up to date. I reckon I would add it's under direct instruction. Well, let's visualize what that might be like. So next one, this is from Meadow Park. There's meant to be a regular boot camp in Meadow Park. Don't know if they meet all through the year, maybe they do. And it shows they're coming to the same place. They're all joining together, they're doing exercises, but on this picture, each one is working on a different thing. Can't see any crunches there. I can see some things that are involving quite a lot of equipment. Then the next slide, you know, it said it's Meadow Park, but looking in the background, I don't think it is. Do you have a view like that from Meadow Park? I do not think you do. What I like about this one, it shows people working together. So you can't do these ones on your own. If the person next to you is not much good at it, then it's a bit hard. But if the person next to you and you are doing it together, it becomes a lot easier. They encourage one another. And maybe you can see some of the thoughts that are forming in my mind as I'm saying some of these. And then the next slide shows one where you have the instructor. Now, the instructor, I think, is there to coordinate what goes on, to direct, but also to motivate. So they're meant to have a good knowledge of the exercises, but also they understand the group. They're encouraged to know everyone's name in their boot camp so they can say, yeah, come on, you could, etc. Then I've got one last picture. This is a previous definition of boot camp. So those of you that hadn't been aware that things had moved on, this might be a picture that had formed in your mind. It says it's particularly from the United States, and it said in my dictionary, a camp where people who have just joined the Army or the Navy or the Marines are trained. Now, I don't know whether in times past you might have that view of God towards you. Someone who was there at the side saying, get on with it, get it sorted, do this, do that. And now, I think for us, it's so wonderful to know that God loves us greatly and he forgives our inadequacies. It's not like this picture. He forgives in Jesus' name. And because of the saving power of his death, the video on YouTube, thank you for showing that to us. What a great choice, Hillary. Okay, it's so good. Yeah, it just fits in. I love the fact that our rescuer is also our instructor. So actually, it's more like the previous slide, isn't it? That instructor demonstrating things. And we think that actually it is a set of intensive exercises, maybe for us, but they are designed to improve our strength and fitness. Let's look at the next slide. So this is from our reading. So here, I've put that picture back up, so much more encouraging. I didn't really want to leave up too long one of you being shouted at or someone being shouted at by someone who is harsh. Our reading said, Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, I've got a slightly different translation of the NIV, which I looked up on Gateway, and it used the word pioneer and perfecter of faith. Can anyone remember what it was in the Hebrews reading that we had before? Jesus the... Can you remember? Did it sink in? Do you know it, that verse? Do you want a quick look and see? What did it say? It was in Hebrews 12, chapter 2. Ooh, what did it say that was slightly different? I sound like a school teacher now, don't I? I'm afraid that is my background and my current practice. So fixing our eyes on Jesus. It doesn't say pioneer there. What does it say? I heard a whisper. It was author. It was author of our faith. Now, either way, it's... Well done. Well done. It's not an easy word to think about, because to me, a pioneer is someone who goes out west and they start things off and they do it independently. An author is someone who writes it all down and sorts it out. But actually, I did have a look. It's my only little bit of Greek today. Okay, and archaegos. Oh, there you go. I can almost produce it. Bet Graham's going, yeah, with his studies, he probably knows way more than me on that one. And it is the idea of a leader who goes ahead. Oh, I like that. The idea that Jesus did it and wants us to follow. So it's not just he wrote about it. It's not just he was the pioneer and went off without expecting anyone to follow. He was the person who goes ahead and leads, the first leader. So what was he a pioneer of? Well, I think his leading, his pioneering work was showing that we could have a new relationship with God. He always had that relationship, but we have that relationship. He showed it. He lived a life in the way that God wants. And he showed, demonstrated a dependence on the Holy Spirit for guiding and strengthening. So that's the way that I think he is our pioneer. But maybe you're thinking, yeah, that's great, but what exercises? If we want the idea of a boot camp, what exercises should it be? In Matthew chapter 6 and 7, Jesus talks about many of the aspects of a believer's life. And I think these might come up in some of the things we hear about, or at least you hear about. And I will get to find out about through my mother, who tells me what happens on Sunday mornings, and it's good to know. Prayer, fasting, giving, following Jesus' words, caring for others, spending a regular time with God. Sometimes we call these Christian disciplines or Christian exercises. Maybe Christian practices, as in things that Christians do. I think in this series, as you go into it, you'll be considering them as Christian practices, as things to get used to and practice on a regular basis. He set the example in these as well. So all of those things, in prayer and fasting, giving, following God's words, caring for others, spending time with God. Now, I'm not going to look at those in depth, any of those in depth today. I've chosen just to do an introduction to your idea of your boot camp. But I do want to think about one thing that can improve with practice. Let's go on to slide 8. Things that are better with practice. Now, they're quite technical exercises in the picture, and the body gets used to them when you do them over and over. My knees mean that a plank I can do, crunches, not a hope. Okay, as for running, can't really do that either. And I can't demonstrate any of those, probably way too much bending down. But I can show you a skill that I have that improved with practice. Okay, so here I have, okay. This was my practice, and I practiced, and I practiced, and I practiced, until I could go a little bit further. But the stages in that, particularly the picking up, practice that quite a lot, the stages in that were regular. And actually, I went very slowly to start with, and I thought, I'm going to keep going at this until I can do 20 without a mistake. Then I might go on to the next stage. So what is it that I think we could work at and practice? And actually, we don't need any juggling balls. We don't need special equipment. We don't even need a special time. And I think that is being aware of God's presence. Now, Jesus did this more than any of us. He was known for spending time with his Father. One of the narratives that we often look at this time of year, because we've talked about Jesus' birth at Christmas, and sometimes we move on to his childhood. And when he was 12, and he went to the temple with his parents, and they left him behind and had to go back and find him, and they question him, and he answers, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Already wanting to spend time in God's presence. I found a quote in Wikipedia under the prayers of Jesus, which I liked. There's someone called R.A. Torrey. I didn't know who he was, but Reuben Archer Torrey, apparently a U.S. evangelist from about 1900 who was linked up with Moody. Okay, and he notes that Jesus prayed early in the morning as well as late at night. He prayed before and after great events, and he prayed when life was unusually busy. Well, that's an example for us, isn't it? So what about us? Thank you for the readings. And we're going to look at another section of the one that Carol read. Particularly, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Draw near in all circumstances, at all times. And that's something I think we can do, minute by minute, driving along, being aware of God, being ready to listen, attuned to him. I was thinking about this just this morning and considering that if I do that, when thoughts pop into my mind, I'm more ready to decide whether they are crazy thoughts from me or actually things God might want to say to me. I maybe get used to listening to how he talks to me. I don't know if you're aware of the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, written a very long time ago. And actually, from someone who didn't have a high-powered job, was just a humble person involved with a monastery and also working as a footman and in a kitchen and all sorts. A couple of quotes that I'd like to put in. "But in order to form a habit of conversing with God continually and referring all we do to him, we must at first apply to him with some diligence. But that after a little care, we should find his love inwardly excite us to do it without any difficulty." I love that. Conversing with God. Just in the habit of it. Habit of conversing. And that's the thing that I think it's worth us practicing. He says also that we ought to act with God in the greatest simplicity, speaking to him frankly and plainly, and imploring his assistance in all our affairs just as they happen. He said, God never failed to grant the help, and he'd always experienced that. That help might not be exactly as that we want. It might not be that everything goes really, really well. But maybe it's sometimes helping us to cope with difficult situations. And I think it can be everyone, everything. It can be help with minor things. I found two juggling balls. I couldn't find the third. My mother will know probably why, because it was probably in a mess. So praying that I'd find the third one, that our prayer was answered, yes, which was really nice. Thank you, God. But actually very minor things that we can bring to God. So this, in the boot camp, is the suggestion, a very simple prayer. Dear Lord, I know you are with me now, thank you. help me to converse with you more. Do you know, converse isn't a very simple word, is it? And yet, it conjures up what I want, which is not, it's all one way, me yelling out things to God. It's actually being aware of him, knowing his presence. So that is my challenge. As you are thinking about your sign up to boot camp, part of it can be just that little practice that you don't have to wait for another Sunday to start. You don't have to wait to be together with others. We can do immediately. And there might be other things that God is actually saying to you, things that he would like you to do. The thing that we do want to do is recognize that our captain, our instructor, is perfect. Wow, that's great news. Our instructor knows exactly what's going on in our lives. Our instructor knows what we're finding difficult. But our instructor does want us to sign up fully. Do you remember the ABC? The admit, believe, and choose. That is part of it, isn't it? Choosing to follow Jesus. But for this time, up to Easter, maybe there's a special challenge to say that I do want to follow. I want to know how you would like me to be. I want to know whether there are particular habits that you would like me to build into my devotion to you, into my Christian life, into my everyday life. And for that reason, we're going to sing a song that makes you have to say it, basically. It's, I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live of this life on earth. Now, I think people at the front said they knew it, and they've been the practicing ones. Can we put the words up? Is that okay? Thank you. How about others? Do you know this one? A few. Okay. But if you don't feel that you have to sing the words to mean them. But if you are able to follow along, then that will encourage us and maybe be a commitment of your own heart as well. Thank you.